A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. We're back. Extra Time with Liam Horobin is back on your radios, YouTube. We're on YouTube now, too. These full episodes go on YouTube. So we're either on one of those, maybe just in your car in general. I don't know. But either way, welcome to Extra Time with me, Liam Horobin, presented by Betway, 19 plus, Ontario only. Please bet responsibly. You think that I would have that nailed down by now? But I haven't quite grasped the whole thing. But we got a light today. I upgraded my studio a little bit and I got this light. And I'm trying to figure out what the best light is for me. I think it's because my camera's kind of shit, to be honest. If I have to be fully transparent. Who knows? I'm going to move it though. 1 second. I think somehow my lighting might be better when I don't have a light on. Nah, that's not true. Either way, welcome to Extra Time with me, Liam Horobin. Today, I recorded this podcast this morning, and then I was doing it, and I was like scrolling through my phone. I just thought there's so much going on right now. It's very difficult to give an answer to some of the questions I've been asked of, like, where's Rice going? Like, what's the deal with Kai Havertz? All these players go to the Saudi Arabian Premier League. So I thought, okay, I'm going to sit down on this Thursday night, a lovely Thursday night in Edmonton. We have had so much rain recently. It has been bonkers, to say the least. I haven't seen that much rain since I lived in England, which is just known to piss it down all the time. So I'm glad that's out the way. Although, I won't lie, it was nice watching the US Open whilst just sitting at home whilst it rained. It was quite delightful. Great win by Wyndham Clark, I believe his name was. I was cheering for Rory. But Rory couldn't get it done in a major again, shockingly. Another thing that wasn't shocking at all was the fact Ricky Fowler blew it. What was his record? He had the most birdies in a US Open, yet still lost. Kind of wild. So there you go. What else happened in the sports world quickly before we get into football? Formula One was in Canada. That was also brutal. Formula One's kind of gone down the drain a little bit. I love it. I love the drivers. I love Drive to Survive. I love the interviews and all that kind of stuff. But you watch the race and it's like, is this really worth it? You just know Max Verstappen's going to win by 20, 30 seconds almost every race. Fernando Alonso is a fantastic story. The fact he's been able to become a champion driver again. I hope he gets some wins this season, even though I think, however many races in, the only people to win are Verstappen and Checo. It's just been bad. The Gasly thing hasn't worked out too well. Alpine, whatever they're called. Stroll looks brutal. Aston Martin. Alex Albon, though. What a racer. Alex Albon has had an amazing season with Williams. I think whenever his contract's up, if it's this year, next year, he's going to get a nice ticket somewhere. They all get good tickets, but he'll get a good ticket to actually a good team in Formula One. One other thing that started the other day, I believe it would have started on Wednesday, was the Euro Under 21 Championships in Georgia and Romania. So there's not as many teams in this Euros as there is in the full on men's European Championships. There's four groups, so I'll run them through them quickly for you all, so you all know who's on them. So actually, depending on where you're listening to this, you can watch these games on UEFA TV, which is free. So all you have to do is make an account And I can get it through my Roku. If you have a Roku or an Apple TV, it can be an app on your television. You download it, you get it. The games are, if you're in the mountain time zone, just to give you an idea, you can maneuver it from wherever there. But 10 a.m. or 12:45 p.m. So pretty good times, considering the World Cup we just had to go through, where some games were starting at 3 o'clock in the morning. Shout out to all you people that got up for those. I was not one of them. But either way, here's the groups for Euro under 21. So Group A is Georgia, Belgium, and the Netherlands. Georgia actually beat, and then Portugal, sorry. And Georgia beat Portugal in the first game in their capital city. I can't remember how to say it, so I'm not going to butcher it. I'm going to save myself the embarrassment. Belgium, Netherlands drew 1-1. A couple of good players on those teams. Go take a look. You'll recognize some names, some from AC Milan, Bayern Munich, like big clubs. Group B, Spain, Romania, Ukraine, and Croatia. Spain beat Romania 3-0 in the first game, and then Ukraine beat Croatia 2-0 in their first game. Not the big names on Spain. There's a few. Sergio Gomez from Manchester City is playing for them. But we'll get to the England squad right away, because that is a team I am fully aware of. Fully, fully aware of. And you'll probably know a ton of names too. So Group C is England, Germany, Israel, and Czechia. England beat Czechia today 2-0. Germany and Israel drew 1 each. Then Group D is France, Switzerland, Italy, and Norway. So France beat Italy 2-1. Switzerland beat Norway 2-1 as well. But if you look at the England team, I watched them today. From the majority of the match against Czechia, very, very exciting game. I think both teams were very attacking-minded. Exciting football to watch, actually. And that's what I like the most about these championships is it's kind of just go, go, go. There's a lot of fun football players in this competition. And it's fairly even, too. For the most part, teams all believe they can win. Like, England very rarely do well in these competitions. And looking at the squad this year, I think they'll do well, especially in the group that they have. Like, they should be fine. Like, Germans have got some good players in there, of course. Headlined by Moukoko, who plays for Borussia Dortmund. They also have Kevin Shade. I know I butchered that one, but he played for Brentford this season. He was good. I know he's a player a lot of people have on their to watch list next season. But the England squad, so they beat Czech Republic, or Czechia, sorry, 2-0 today. Jacob Ramsey got a goal and Emil Smith Rowe. So that tells you the kind of the caliber of players that England have at this tournament. So I'll read off a few that most people don't know. And then I got one player I would really like to take a dive into a little bit. So Levi Colwill, who was on loan at Brighton, but he's a Chelsea product. Charlie Cresswell is maybe another name people would know. He played for Leeds in the Premier League this past season. Morgan Gibbs-White is on this team, someone who a lot of people wanted to be playing for England in their most recent call-ups. And I feel like this is probably a reason why he didn't play for England, is to go and play in this competition. Makes sense, you know. Angel Gomez, former Manchester United Academy player. Oliver Skip, who obviously plays for Spurs. Smith Rowe, we said. Curtis Jones, who got a lot of playing time in the last couple of years at Liverpool. Who else we got? Harvey Elliott, obviously took a bigger step at Liverpool this season too, with the injuries they had. Opportunity opened up. Jacob Ramsey, I mentioned. Cole Palmer, who's coming around a little bit for City. I believe there's some speculation that he'll probably go on loan, which makes sense. And then the strikers, you got guys like Anthony Gordon on the team, who obviously didn't have a very good season with Newcastle, but a lot of potential. But the one player I wanted to narrow in on today, and if you watched the match, you would have seen it, but James Trafford is, I'm telling you right now, James Trafford will be England's number one goalie one day. He is playing at the Manchester City Academy right now, but he was with Bolton Wanderers the last couple of years, so I'm very familiar with him. And he's phenomenal. He comes up with massive saves all the time. He's pretty good with his feet, very athletic goalkeeper, very good shot stopper. He's all around just a very good product. Now, I've got a feeling we'll see him play here and there for City next season. If not, he'll be a very good championship club. That was something Bolton were all hoping to do, was to kind of get promoted so maybe they could keep Trafford for one more season. But he's just too good. He's too good for League One. He's probably, like I said, a top. He's kind of like Dean Henderson in a way of, like, he can go to a Premier League team, and be very good for your Sheffield United, Bournemouth, Forest, those kind of teams right now. Eventually, he will grow and become City's number one goalie whenever Edison's done. And plus, it helps City with their homegrown thing too. And I just think he's amazing. Like, really go watch his game today against Czechia. Made a lot of good saves, like a lot of one-on-one saves too. And he's going to be a high-quality player. So James Trafford is my player to watch for England at this U21 Euros. I think you're going to be very excited as England supporters, if you're an England supporter, just a footballer support in general, to see what this guy does. I think he's world class. I think he's going to be next level. And maybe I'm a little bit biased considering he played for Bolton, but at the end of the day, like, you got first hand experience right here. I've seen him on a Tuesday night against Accrington Stanley. I don't know. I can't think of any teams off the top of my head, but he's very good. So I would recommend checking out his highlights. Go watch the highlights from today of England versus Czechia. And honestly, go watch the highlights from all these games. Like I said, you can find all the games on UEFA TV. 10 a.m. starts or 12:45 starts mountain time, that is. So whichever way you fall, if you're in Canada or North America in general, like, you got mountain time, Pacific, Atlantic, whatever. Like, they're all very reasonable times. But moving away from the Euro 21, which I think I'm going to try and keep up to date with a little bit more on this show as it keeps going on. Maybe you'll see me do a little bit of 90th minute content outside of this show too. We'll see. If you're lucky. If this show gets to, I don't know, 50 views, that would be nice. We'll see. Either way, let's get into some transfer talk here. And it's funny, like, I was writing all these notes down and it all just came back to Chelsea, which I feel like I talk about Chelsea a lot, but there's such an intriguing storyline because they're just doing everything wrong. And maybe I'm wrong to say that, but it just feels like everything Chelsea does turns into a disaster. You get this new owner, for obvious reasons, comes in, spends all this money. He's like, all right, this is good. Then he spends more money and he's like, okay, what are you doing? Like, how are you going to fit all these players? And Thomas Tuchel gets sacked. Then you get Graham Potter and he's like, okay, all right, Graham Potter buys more players. Now you got this huge squad, can't handle them. He's not up to the task. Gets sacked. All right. Who are we bringing as a caretaker manager? Frank Lampard. Okay, well, he wins one game for the rest of the season. One or two, whatever it was. Disastrous. Now they're in the transfer market and they're literally selling their best players, or some of their best players, to rivals. Kai Havertz has gone to Arsenal. That's the one I want to discuss first. Mateo Kovacic is now at Manchester City. If Manchester City come knocking and say, hey, like, we like this Croatian midfielder you've got, do you not think you should just put the phone down and be like, ah, you know what? We'll probably keep this guy. If City think he's good, you should probably think he's good too if you're Chelsea. And now there's a speculation that Mason Mount could be going to United, which I think is fantastic. The quote I saw for Mason Mount, which I thought was a very good one, is he's not going to raise the ceiling of your club, but he's not going to drop the floor. I think that's pretty fair. Like, he's a very good football player. I like Mason Mount a lot. He just needs to give a little bit more. And I think Chelsea is just gone dry for him. Crazy that they're just giving up on him. If you look back at some of the players they've sold in the last little bit, it's kind of wild, to be honest. Like, Tammy Abraham's gone. Mason Mount is gone. Tomori is gone. Tariq Lafferty was a prospect for them as well. And it's just like, what are you doing? Like, keep these guys around. See what they can become for your club. And no, it looks like Conor Gallagher maybe is out the door. Billy Gilmore is another one that is progressing to pretty well at Brighton. Maybe you want a little bit more from him too. Callum Hudson-Odoi is not panned out at all. It's just, Chelsea had such a bright future with all these young British players and now they're all just gone and they're just back to the Chelsea ways of spending as much money as they can. And I really wonder when clubs are going to get a grip and go out and try and find what Brentford and Brighton and whoever else it may be are finding in these markets who are then selling these players for 50, 60 million. I just wonder if teams, I guess the argument would be, why do teams need to do it when other teams are going to do it for them? And they could be a little bit lazy about it. Saying that, Chelsea did buy like some 16-year-old from Ecuador or Argentina or something. So we'll see what he does. But at least they're doing something, I guess. That's a positive. Either way, the first player I want to discuss quickly is the Kai Havertz transfer to Arsenal. The fee is fairly high, 75 million, but then again, he's only 24, 3 years in the Premier League of essentially playing out of his position. I think this could be a very, very good move for Arsenal. I might go as far as saying this for me might be the transfer of the summer. I know we're fairly early into the process and there's still players to be sold. Like Declan Rice hasn't gone anywhere yet. Sounds like half the league is trying to bid for him at the moment. But on Havertz, like I said, he's 24. He scored some big goals in some big moments. Obviously, the Champions League winner. I believe he got the winner of the World Club Championship, whatever that thing's called. That's good. He's just not a striker. And I think at Arsenal, they're just going to play him as that number eight. Someone who can kind of dart into the box a little bit, be a bit of a playmaker outside, but have that finish inside the box and the ability to distribute to a lot of players. Like that front three for Arsenal of your Saka, obviously. Saka on one side, Martinelli on the other, Gabriel Jesus down the middle, maybe you have Eddie Nketiah, and maybe Florian Balogun's still there too. He had a good goal for the USA the other night against Canada. It's a lot of attack, and at Chelsea, he's really not had that, has he? Like, I know Chelsea have a lot of names that have come through there. Like, Sterling was disappointing. Timo Werner was disappointing. Mostly the reason why Havertz had to play as the key striker. Mudrik has come in and done nothing. Pulisic has really done nothing. So, this to me, Havertz going to Arsenal, feels like the best team he's been in since Bayer Leverkusen. Is that crazy to say? I know Chelsea won the Champions League, but it just didn't fit for him. And he was playing out of position. And I just think this deal for Arsenal is such a massive one and something that could really help them. It really helps them fill the hole of Granit Xhaka, right? Who can they now just cycle that through? Yes, it's a pricey deal to make. But for a 24-year-old midfielder who has been playing striker and is still managing to almost score 10 goals a season in the Premier League, like, he scored 20 goals as, I think, a 19-year-old, 20-year-old, something like that, in the Bundesliga. It's a very difficult league as well, and very excited by the prospect of what this could become for Arsenal. And boy, oh boy, if Arsenal can get Declan Rice, which it's hard to say. It looks like City have come in a little bit now as well and tried to push to get Rice to Manchester, which is just an embarrassment of riches. Like, Calvin Phillips must be thinking, what the heck is going on? Then I think that kind of ruins football, to be honest, a little bit. Like, not ruins football, but it's going to ruin the Premier League if City get Rice. Apparently, Rice likes the idea of going to Arsenal a little bit more than City, and I hope he does. I hope Arsenal can come next season and kind of put everyone to rest, saying that they've been a one-season wonder and they're going to fall down to be fourth again. Like, I'm kind of amazed the amount of people that just assume Liverpool are just going to become this monster again, and Chelsea, like, how often do we see that? Like, teams kind of fall off, like Tottenham are going to fall off now. Brighton will be interesting, but I could go on for days about every team, to be honest. But for me, yes, the Kai Havertz transfer from Chelsea to Arsenal for, I believe it was £75, could be the transfer of the summer. Maybe I'm crazy. Let me know.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Moving on to the other team that we kind of briefly spoke about is Manchester City. So while they're trying to bring players in, obviously Declan Rice, Kovacic, like we said, Gundogan is gone to Barcelona. And now that three of De Jong, Gundogan and Pedri and Gavi, wherever you want to flow him in there, and Frankie Kessie, that is going to be a dominant midfield for Barcelona. We'll see how they actually do in the Champions League next season, though, because if you remember, I had them out of the Champions League. I predicted they would fall out and go into the Europa League, which is what happened. And a lot of people didn't agree, but look at me now, thriving. Also, did you see that thing the other day, which was, I thought was quite interesting and good, I suppose, but was every team that Diego Maradona played for won a trophy this past season. So Napoli obviously ended their drought. Boca Juniors won the Argentinian League. Sevilla won the Europa League. And Barcelona won their La Liga title as well. And Argentina obviously being the big one, winning the World Cup. So just kind of the legend still looking down on everybody and trying to help out his clubs. And it went in a very positive way. So there you go. A little fun fact for you. Thank you, TikTok, for that one. Manchester City. Gundogan is gone. Bernardo Silva looks to be going to the Saudi Arabian League, which I'll get into in a moment too. Kyle Walker is also speculated to be going. He was linked with Sheffield United, which would be nuts. I can never see that happening. The reason Kyle Walker looks to be out the door at City is he's 33. He's definitely not losing his pace, but I don't think they want to sign him to a new contract after, and he has 1 year left. So trying to find alternatives for him. Bayern Munich has been a club that's involved in the talks for Kyle Walker as well. If there's one team I would like to see him go to, you can never go wrong with you Bayern Munich, can you? It seems like every time somebody goes there, they just seem to flourish into these and become ageless. Look at Thomas Müller forever, isn't it? So I think that'd be a good spot for him. I'd hate to see him leave the Premier League, but also you go into a massive club in Bayern Munich, so it wouldn't be too bad. So that's kind of the transfer update for City, I suppose. Obviously linked with Declan Rice. As I mentioned, Kovacic has come in, so that's helped them obviously there in the midfield. Calvin Phillips is going to be such an intriguing player for City next season. Like, what is he going to be? And I think he's obviously got a lot of stick this season for going to City and play. He played more minutes for England the other night than he did for City all season, which is one kind of crazy he gets called up for England, but also understandable considering the position that he plays and the limited players England have in that position. So I'm okay with Phillips being in the England squad. It's Harry Maguire I have an issue with. But in City, it's okay. You got Rodri kind of in a way, but when are they going to rotate him in a little bit more? And I did a little experiment, and it kind of works. It kind of works in a different way, though. So I wanted to see how players do under a second year of Pep Guardiola. So there's all these things, how like City is such a complicated system to play in. Like, there's just a lot of moving parts, and when you watch them, you can see it. So I went back and looked. Jack Grealish in his first season with City, 26 games, 3 goals, 3 assists. Second season, 28 games, 5 goals, 7 assists. So you're kind of seeing what's happening there. Leroy Sané, I kept going back. First year, two goals, 5 assists. Second year, 10 goals, 15 assists. Now that is a jump. And I didn't write down his games for some reason, but they were right around the same as what Grealish was playing the year before, when I said it just then. Mahrez, 27 games in his first season, 7 goals, 4 assists. Second season, 33 games, 11 goals, 9 assists. Now, I know all those players are wingers, and statistically they will look a little bit better, but Nathan Aki is maybe an example of gradually getting more and more in the squad. I know he's a little bit younger than Phillips, but we'll see. Like, I really think Calvin Phillips is a fantastic football player, and obviously City didn't buy him to sit on the bench. The injuries have not helped him. I think Calvin Phillips will be the comeback player of the Premier League next season, if that's even an award. Someone who really turns heads again and gets back to the Calvin Phillips we all knew from the Euro 2020. And I mean, if you can have Declan Rice and Calvin Phillips in the same team every week from an England perspective, that would be fantastic. The issue wouldn't be getting Declan Rice into your squad. It would be, is Calvin Phillips going to be playing every week? Injuries really bothering this guy. I hope he gets it back together, because he's a player I've really enjoyed watching over the years of Leeds getting in the Premier League, and even when they're in the Championship, and he was thriving then, getting into the England squad and doing what he did at the Euros. He was one of their best players. Even at the World Cup, he was fantastic as well when he played. So it's kind of my stance on Phillips. I'm expecting a big season from him coming up. So we'll see. One of the last things we'll touch on, and I'm not even really going to, I don't really know how to approach this because I was not expecting this, but we've obviously seen a lot of players go to the Saudi Arabian Premier League this season. Not just English Premier League players that kind of come in from all over a little bit. Like, I know there was maybe an Inter player connected with them, some Turkish players, I believe, too. But for the most part, it's been England that has been ransacked a little bit by the Saudi Arabian teams. Karim Benzema is gone, left Real Madrid, end of his career. N'Golo Kante has also gone too. And I know people are kind of like, oh, he can still play. It's like, yeah, but he had a pretty bad injury. I think it's the right thing for Kante to maybe get out of the spotlight a little bit. They're both gone. Ruben Neves is gone. Edward Mende looks to be gone. Hakim Ziyech looks to be gone. Bernardo Silva, no team attached yet, but it sounds like a lot of teams from the Saudi Arabian Premier League are bidding for him. Koulibaly is another one too. We'll see what happens here. It's very, very interesting watching these transfers develop, because I just wonder why. Like, I know the money's involved in it too, but you look at a guy like Ruben Neves, it's like, Kate, you were the captain of Porto at 18. You then went to Wolves when they were in a Championship. You stick through a fairly strong Wolves era. They obviously had a very good European campaign that one season. Didn't they play like 60 games or something crazy like that for that year? I can't remember what it was. But then you become a mid-table team. You're the best player for however long he's been there. He was their best player. And now you're going to the Saudi Arabian League. But there's also links to him going to Newcastle on loan. So I don't know how the Saudi Arabian League's scheduled. I don't know if there's a gap similar to what the MLS is, where you get guys like when Landon Donovan would come and play for Everton. I don't know. It's very interesting. Excuse me. I wonder how this is going to continue to develop. I don't think they'll get anyone kind of more in their prime than a Ruben Neves. Like, let's look at all the other names I listed. Benzema's done. Conte's done. Mende's done. Ziyech wanted to be at PSG. He should be at PSG. Koulibaly looks to be done. Bernardo Silva, obviously, I guess that's a name I missed. Like, him and Neves, like, I just wonder, like, how long are they going to be there for? Like, how well is this project going to go? I think the MLS has worked because Americans have just, the league was there, it was established, you had ambassadors like your Landon Donovans, for example. I guess I can't really think of anyone else, to be honest. Maybe like Clint Dempsey, you know, kind of those guys. David Beckham obviously went. This feels like that, but those players were different. Obviously, like Gerrard came, Pirlo came, Kaká, Lampard, tons of other guys as well, isn't there? Wayne Rooney, Tim Cahill, that was like their big, like, mid-level player that came. So that was kind of, I don't really have a lot to say about it, because quite frankly, I don't know what to say. It's very intriguing. It's something I'm going to kind of monitor, especially with these English players going over there and see what it is. But like, let me know, are you going to watch this league? Because I still really have no interest at all. I just, because like I said, so there's how many players are on this list? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Plus Ronaldo, you have 9. Okay, you have 9 players in the league that people know. I just can't see it really taking off until either Saudi Arabian players become more recognizable, or they just basically load up their teams with everyone they can find to get a television deal somewhere, which maybe is the way it's trending. I don't know. It's just an interesting thing, but there you go. That's kind of all I've got today, to be honest. I really wanted to see how this Declan Rice thing was playing out. Felt like it might get a little bit more clarity as the day went on, which we did. So next week we'll discuss where Declan Rice has gone. Oh, England played over the weekend too. There was a lot of internationals. I actually really forgot about that. It was who they beat. They beat Malta 4-0, and then they beat North Macedonia 7-0 at Old Trafford. And it was, I know it's North Macedonia, and I don't want to take too much from this game considering the opponent, but it was quite exciting to see what England were doing with the ball going forward. It was very fluid. It felt very threatening every time they attacked. I haven't seen England like that for a while. And again, take it with a grain of salt. They played North Macedonia, but if they can keep that up a little bit and be a little bit more free and more entertaining to watch, then I'm all in. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink is a coach now for England, going from Burton Albion to England. I'm not sure how that works, but either way, it is working. I'm very curious to see like what kind of influence he has on this team. And maybe that was it. Maybe we saw the influence he has on this team. So it's a thrilling time to be an England fan. Kind of. 11 goals in 2 games. You can't really go wrong with that. What else can I have? Oh, Scotland beat Norway. I really should have researched this one before we went deep into it, but I'll pull it up on my phone quickly. So on the Scotland and Norway thing, Norway were winning. They took off Haaland. And then they lost, and I believe it was the 86th minute he went off the pitch. Yes, there it was. Haaland went off the pitch at the 84th minute. Scotland scored in the 87th and 89th to win. So now Norway sit third in their group after Georgia have had quite a good start to the qualifying. Going, they have 1 win, 1 draw, and 1 loss. Norway has 4 points with 4 games played. Georgia has 3. Spain only has 2 games played, only 3 points. So there, I would imagine this definitely is going to even out a little bit. But is this going to be another tournament we don't see Erling Haaland in? Which is crazy to think about. Like, you look at this Norwegian team. They've Odegaard, obviously, and Haaland. They got some other good players in there too, but it would be kind of sad. I really, really want to see Norway in the Euros just to see Haaland there, to be honest. Is there any other results that can... Oh, Moldova beat Poland. I was watching this one with Waz at the office, and Moldova, they said on the commentary, and I didn't look into this, but it's the first time they've scored more than 1 goal in a qualifying match in 9 years. And they scored 4 goals against Poland. Only 3 of them counted, and they all came in the second half. Like, what a historic, historic win for Moldova. They now sit in third in their group with 5 points. Who have they beat? Let's have a look. So they obviously got the win over Poland. They got a draw over Czechia and a draw over the Faroe Islands. Now, if they had just beat the Faroe Islands, that could have been something. We'll see. I don't think Moldova is going to qualify for the Euros. I mean, you look at the group, Czechia is top of the group. Albania is not a bad side. And then Poland, I would imagine when they have the second half of the fixture in Warsaw, then Poland will take it off there. Let's have a quick scan through before we go of the groups. Group A, topped by Scotland. Georgia's in second, Norway, and then Spain, and then Cyprus. Group B, France and Greece are the top 2 teams there, so they would qualify for the Euros. Ireland in third, the Netherlands in fourth, and Gibraltar is in fifth. So the reason Netherlands and like Spain, Croatia, and Italy would have played a little bit less is because they had the Nations League semifinals, which Spain beat Croatia in the final on penalties. So Spain are the Nations League winners, which kind of is what it is. It's a good little trophy. I think it's better than having friendlies all the time. So I've put a little bit into it. And Group C, England, 4 wins in 4. Ukraine in second. Italy, North Macedonia, Malta. Group D, Turkey, Armenia, Croatia, Wales. Wales are done, people. Without Gareth Bale, Wales are not going to qualify for another major tournament for a long, long time. Not until they find another Gareth Bale. The squad is just not good enough, unfortunately. The World Cup was kind of the last hurdle for them, I think. Fantastic run. Obviously, 2016 Euros was something historic for Welsh football. To get back to, what did they do, 3 straight major tournaments or back-to-back Euros in a World Cup is very impressive. So props to Wales, but I think your era is done. Group E, we spoke about Czechia, Albania, Moldova, Poland, Faroe Islands. Group F, Austria and Belgium are the top 2 teams there. Sweden in third, Estonia, and then Azerbaijan. Group G, topped by Hungary. and Serbia. Montenegro is the third team. You may remember them as Serbia, Montenegro from the 2006 World Cup. They are no longer. They are two separate countries, Bulgaria and Lithuania. It's an interesting group, actually. Group H, Finland, Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is in second in this group. Who have they played? They beat... they beat Denmark. We're learning on the go here, people. They beat Denmark back in March. I do not remember that. Well, there you go. They came back from 3-0 down. 2-0 down. Beat Denmark, San Marino, North, and Ireland. So Denmark's in third in that group. Slovenia, fourth. Northern Ireland, fifth. San Marino, sixth. I hope you liked my Northern Irish accent there. Switzerland in first in Group I, followed by Romania. Israel, third. Belarus, fourth. Kosovo, fifth. Andorra, sixth. And then Group J to round it off is Portugal with 4 wins in 4, Slovakia, Luxembourg, Bosnia, Iceland, and Liechtenstein. It's a good one to say. That's quite interesting. I have not looked through those groups yet, so we'll see. We're still very early in the process, only 4 games played, but it would be fantastic if we got some new faces in the European Championships for this next competition in Germany, I believe. So I'll be excited. Let's keep watching that. It's done for the summer now. We'll see it back in the fall, I suppose, but that's it. Also be seeing me next Wednesday, maybe Thursday. We'll see what happens. But either way, thank you very much for listening. Always appreciate the support. Tell a friend, leave a review, do something. If you see this on Twitter, please retweet it. Leave a like on the YouTube video. But until then, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We'll see you guys on the flippity flap.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.